When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, it's time to go inside the green room with Danny Green.
You buy the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Danny is also the host of the Odyssey original podcast, Inside the Green Room, featuring weekly breakdowns of all the latest headlines around the league. Make sure to follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny, you with us? Hello.
How are you, Danny?
I'm here, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you very much. We're just
I appreciate you having me on again.
Oh, we love having you with us, buddy. Thank you for doing it. We just talked about peaking at the right time. Danny, when you're on an NBA team and you're looking at the playoffs and you know you're going to be in it in some way, shape, or form, how do you make sure you peak at the right time? Or is that not even a concern?
It's tough to control that. A lot of it is a good amount is luck and you know, just guys sitting at the right time or chemistry gelling together. I guess as a coach, the most you can do is hope that everybody's healthy and you make sure you have a set rotation. Guys know their minutes and rotation within a month, but you want to be playing your best basketball April, May, and June. So in March, this is the time where you want to start, especially at the end of this month, of breaking down your rotations of what the playoffs look like. And then guys can be comfortable in those rotations in those areas. And so you just got to hope that they're healthy and hope that you're making shots and guys are feeling confident. But yeah, it's hard to control that and try to, but you can do the best you can to steer it in that direction.
Yeah, Danny, it's an interesting spot where the Cavs are right now just because they're missing Donovan Mitchell. And this offense seems to have been tailored so much to have Donovan Mitchell with the ball in his hands. What is it like when you have an offense that's tailored around a star player that way and that guy goes missing? And how should it look if other guys step up? Because, boy, it's looked a little on the clunkier side since Mitchell's been out this way.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough when your main guy is missing. It's kind of said I've been in situations like that when Kawhi was gone, when Joel was gone. You do the best you can prepare for it, but you know ultimately you're going to need that guy to win. And you're going to need – and your offense is different, and it's going to be clunky until he comes back. But everybody has – it gives guys an opportunity to step up, to play, show what they can do, and get comfortable. And even the bench to get deeper so that when they're in that position, it's not a shock. So it's a good thing if you give guys those opportunities, those minutes. But it's just tough to keep the chemistry or keep that chemistry going well during that time while your star player is out.
Danny Green joining us, our Odyssey Sports Basketball Insider. Danny, we were talking about Darius Garland the other day, and I made the comment. I said, don't get me wrong. Darius is a really good NBA player. And
yes.
I said, but I don't think he's a great NBA player. And I said, but with that in mind, I don't think there are that many great NBA players. And that's not to poo-poo anybody in the NBA.
It's not to knock anybody.
No, not at all. I mean, there are a lot of really good players. How many great players? And you know, you played in the league over a dozen years.
Yeah.
How many great players are there in the league, Danny? What makes a great player as compared to a really good player?
I would agree. I mean, Darius is still very young. So is Evan. They can be great players. They have the potential to be. I don't know if they're there yet. But the people that you probably consider superstars, and some superstars aren't great players either. It's kind of about their brand and how they carry themselves. Some guys are just rock stars. But the superstars that are great players, like the LeBron James, the Kevin Durant, the Steph Currys, there's a reason why they're superstars, because they're really good at what they do. They're great players. And some are just great at their roles. You know, Clay's having a tough year, but he's still a great NBA player. You know, there's, you know, the guys that have been injured that are great players. Ja Morant, who had took season off. You know, but Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic, those guys are great players. Kyrie Irving, great players. I'd say probably a very small percentage of the league, maybe 5% of the league, are made up of great players. You know, but they are still good players. It's good. It's like, you know, a good 80% that make up the good part. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of good players. There's some really good. You know, there's different levels. There's great. There's really good. There's good. And then, you know, there's some that are solid, you know. So the makeup of a great player is tough to say, and it's different for just each person.
I think it's interesting too, Danny. I've stressed this forever. I think NBA athletes are the best athletes in pro sports, and there are so few of you guys. You know what? 450 guys, basically, something like that. You know, and then you add some practice, maybe 500-600 guys who might play in the NBA. As many people as play basketball worldwide, it's such a small little percentage, and people just don't understand. A guy can be sitting at the end of an NBA bench, and he's a really good basketball player. And yes, I don't think people grasp that.
People don't. And I think the best comparison was today, you know, people were talking about the UConn men's basketball team. And I figured who had the statement that they could be in the Eastern Conference playoffs or something like that. One of the reporters, and Chandler Parsons, said their best player wouldn't play for the Detroit Pistons. And that statement, I think, holds more true than the other statement, because it's not easy to make the NBA. It's not easy to play in the NBA. So, and even though those kids are really good, and UConn kids, not to knock any of them, but, you know, it takes a different type of maturity, different type of readiness to be able to play. And it's, now I'm not saying they couldn't be on a team. I don't think any of them can start. Maybe one or two, they have potential. But any of those guys, I don't think any of them would start an NBA team. It's probably one of the best college makeup teams of pros outside of the young Kentucky team who lost early, that you can look at and say, you know, these guys are really good. But looking at that, that's the only way I can compare it or could give an analogy of showing how tough it is to make the NBA. Like, even the best college players you look at, a lot of them would not be on NBA teams.
Danny Green joining us. Insider Calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. So you're talking about you've had the pleasure to play with a lot of unbelievable players in your career. When you play with those guys, how much do those guys dictate culture and the style that they play rub off on everybody around them? And I only ask because there's that play floating around all over the web when it comes to Nikola Jokic, where he makes the extra pass, and you can tell that this entire team has bought into that same philosophy, and you just see the ball zip all over the place for a wide open dunk.
No, a ton of it, a ton of the energy, a ton of their mentality. It definitely flows into the other players and personnel and coaching staff. If you have a guy, there could be really good guys, but if their mindset is very negative or how they carry themselves, or they're tough to play with and all they want to do is score, that's going to roll over too. And it's going to, I'm going to say, a lot of things, like positivity is contagious, so is the negativity. And some of the negative stuff can, let's say, go into some guys' minds and atmospheres and energies and take over your team to where the extra pass ain't being made. So I think how your superstar approaches the game is how your role players are going to be able to adapt and adjust and also approach the game, which can carry or make or break your team and make or break your team's energy and playoff or goals or championship goals. So I think it's a huge aspect in the space of a locker room, and it definitely rubs off on the rest of the group.
Danny, somehow the Boston Celtics blew a 30-point lead and lost to the Atlanta Hawks. We know strange things happen in the NBA. That was one of the strange things.
It seemed like a full moon yesterday, you know.
The
Suns lost to the Spurs yesterday. It said Boston lost to Atlanta. Who else lost yesterday? There was a Clippers lost. Clippers have been on a little downfall, but there's a lot of strange things happening. It said I've seen stranger things happen, but yeah, it happens.
10.5 game lead for the Celtics. Are they that much better than everybody else in the East, or are they just – they've cruised through the regular season and they're going to have a real challenge from, say, Milwaukee or maybe
I think
some...
they are better than everybody else. I don't know about that much better. I think they are. I think also they had their group together for longer. That's what made them have the jump early advantage. They know how to – they can win. They won a lot of early games where teams are figuring it out. So that's an advantage. And them, they know where each other's at. Those small details win possessions, which win games. And, you know, they've won a lot of games big, but they also won a lot of games very close, and it's because of execution and because of just the knowing each other. The only new person they got was Drew, and they got Porzingis too. But you input those guys, they have the same group, the same foundation, and, you know, same system. So it's easy for them to kind of just play basketball without having to think too much. And other teams have gotten new people and have had to adapt, adjust, think. Clippers had to get James and then figure out how to play with him. You know, certain teams have got other people had to figure out how to play with them. You know, Philly's changed a little bit. You know, LA's gotten injuries. Golden State had some different changes. The fact that they are really good, they are better than everybody else, and the fact that they've been together have helped a ton.
If you're a Warriors fan, how scared are you right now?
I'm concerned. I wouldn't say scared, but I'm concerned. And but they're a team that can get hot at any moment. They've had spurts, and you have Steph and Klay. You can't ever count them out. Draymond obviously leading the defense in the charge. When it comes to anchoring a team mindset, I think it's in Wiggs. Wiggs is a very special talent. He's just, once they get it together, hopefully it's not too late. But if I'm a Warriors fan, I'm definitely concerned.
Danny, you had the opportunity to play with a number of teams, and teams that had some really, really good players. You know, you were in Cleveland with LeBron. You were in San Antonio with Tim Duncan and Manu. You were in Toronto with Kawhi Leonard. Your list goes on and on. Was there one guy, two guys, number of guys, who maybe had the biggest impact on you during your career? And I don't mean like taking you under your wing or something, but a teammate that you just, what for whatever reason, that guy really impacted you in your career?
100%. I mean, all of them have impacted in different ways, but I learned the most in your younger years, and that's definitely Timmy, number one, Manu, and then Tony, and then Pop. You know, being in that San Antonio system, learned how to be a professional, how they carry themselves, how they came to work every day, how serious they took the game. And into my rookie year, I learned a lot from watching Bron. Even though he was younger than he was a kid, liked to joke around, still likes to joke around. I learned a lot from watching Bron and Shaq. You know, they're just great. I've learned so much from that San Antonio organization.
I can imagine. And from the outside looking in, and Greg Popovich has this kind of gruff exterior, and if you're a media person, you better ask the right question or he's going to call you out on it. But I can only imagine from a teaching standpoint. You know, that's going to get your master's degree in basketball, is it not?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And life too. You know, Pop, obviously Coach Williams. You know, growing up and being in college and becoming a man, I learned a lot from not just basketball, but from Coach Williams, but also Pop as well. Learning how to be an adult, learning how to be professional, how to carry yourself, and then of course on the court. You know, my high school coach, I give him so much credit because he was the first perfectionist that I came across that taught me the game and how not to be satisfied with the good things that I've done and how to be and learn to be want to be great and trying to fix the things that I did make mistakes on, even when you had a great game, figuring it out.
All right, Danny, I got one last Cavs question for you. You're around this team a little bit in the past. You've been around all the kids and all that kind of stuff. How much more does Evan Mobley have to develop? And can he hit the potential that a lot of people had for him when he was drafted to the Cavaliers as early as he was?
Oh, he definitely can be. He has more to grow. He has a lot of room. The ceiling is, you know, he has a very high ceiling because of the potential. But I think in order for him to become that superstar, he does have to develop a little more. And I think it's more of a confidence thing and having the right developmental people around him. And it's going to take another probably 2 years at least, I would say. And if we don't see it in the next 2 years, he may not get there, or we might need to make a change of who's developing him. But I think he has the potential and definitely could be, AD. You know, I could see him being an Anthony Davis if he put the right work and had the right people around him.
Danny, love having you with us. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
For sure.
Danny Green joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.